and call the meeting of the Citizens Police Review Board to order. And as we generally do, I think we'll start with introductions, and we have plenty of Stephanies to introduce themselves, but we'll start at that end and we'll come around the table.
I'm Stephanie Brown. I'm the new Special Projects Manager in the City Manager's Office, and I'll be the new City Liaison.
I'm Matt Unrein. I'm the Deputy City Manager and the retiring liaison.
I'm Peyton Oliver. I'm the City Management Fellow. I'm going to be soon to be former liaison.
Becky Thompson, Deputy City Councilor, and I'm filling in for Earl Kraus.
Stephanie Coleman, Stephanie number two, board member.
Denise Blazek, board member.
Doug Hunt, board chair.
Harry Castello, board member.
Steph Yoakum, Human Rights Commission.
Clint Sinclair, Police Department.
All right. Before we move to the approval of the agenda, I'm going to suggest a couple of additions to the agenda that are relatively small. One, I think, you know, at our April meeting, we had the discussion of CPD's handling of civilian complaints and what the process was and all that sort of stuff. And I thought we should first see if we've got any responses. I reviewed the meeting, the video of the meeting myself, and tried to think about what we had learned. So I thought we might add, I would think logically that might fall under a new business thing, just maybe before the training on Blue Team item, to see whether people have thoughts that we want to share after our experience last time. And the other one is a small thing. I know that I received two, others may have just received one, anonymous complaints that were forwarded to us by members of the public about police items, and I think we should at least mention those since they were sent to us. I would propose that we put that under reports, because I don't think there's any action required. I just feel that we need to report that these were received, and that's all that amounts to. So if there's no objection, we'll... Yes.
I don't mean to interrupt you, Mr. Chairman. Do you mind repeating the item for new business again? I just want to make sure I understand.
New business is board's thoughts, responses to the April discussion of CPD's handling of civilian complaints. We got a discussion of the process, and we've now had a little while to think about it and think about what we've learned, and I thought it might be good to reflect a little on that.
Is that the non-complaint complaints?
No, this was... Both Paul and Jill were here talking about how the complaints are actually handled.
I beg your pardon.
Yeah, that's what we're really talking about. Yeah, non-complaint complaints will come up in closed session. If there are no objections, I think that would be a fair way to do it. We'll add those in, and then let's have a vote on approval of the agenda as amended. So I'll move approval of the agenda as amended. Is there a second?
I'll second that.
Okay. All those in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed? Okay. And people have had a chance to look at the draft open session minutes from April 9th. I'll entertain a motion to approve those minutes.
I'll second that.
I'll say I made the motion. That's a second. And again, I should have asked whether there were any changes anybody wanted to see on that, but I'm assuming not. So we have a motion and a second to approve those minutes, and all those in favor, please say aye.
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 And then we've got the draft closed session minutes. Were there any changes that people are thinking are important? We might have to discuss them in closed session if there are, but if there are no objections to the minutes as written, I'd entertain a motion to approve the closed session minutes from April.
I'll make the motion to approve.
Harry makes the motion.
I'll second. Coleman.
Okay. All those in favor of approving the minutes of the closed session, please say aye.
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 All right. Under old business, we have the brochure update. I may have told the story once before about having a it was actually a scholarship candidate when I was interviewing people once, say, I've learned something from my career in government, in student government. When you delegate, delegate completely. Having said, I don't know how to put brochures together. I would welcome a report from anybody who has thoughts about the present state of the brochure and where we are on it.
Well, from the one, I mean, that we have, it's to the point.
Yep.
It's visually pleasing, which was my big thing. And it's not too wordy or anything. So, I mean, I kind of like it the way it is. I think it would be easy print.
I agree.
And I agree too. And we do have the QR code, which will allow people to get more detailed information as they need it.
And still, there's good basic
information. So, do we want to vote on it to just print? Are we good with that, Doug?
Let's have a motion to approve the content and say we feel that it's ready to go. I think finally city staff will be doing the printing for us.
Yeah.
But we approve the design and the content. So, in fact, let's just do that by consensus. I think everybody here is happy with the design and
yes.
the content.
Mr. Chairman, if I might, is there a desire for you guys to have a number of these copies available to you so you can maybe have them in your car or in your briefcase to hand to folks?
Yes, absolutely.
Right. Would you think like 25 or so per person? Is that a sufficient amount?
That would be plenty. The other thing, I think, like the lobby in the police department would be an important location to have this information available and out here.
Absolutely, yes.
So, and we may think, does people think of other locations?
We regularly distribute Human Rights Commission literature at the food bank, the library, local social service agencies, things like that.
Okay, so you might want to have considerably more than 25, right?
We just drop off a couple wherever there's public literature areas, just making sure our stuff's there.
Yeah. I'm thinking, Steph, it might make sense to put them in your hands because you are going there instead of send somebody on them. Okay, so.
We'll find homes for them.
That sounds great.
We'll just bring a stack of them next time if we can get them.
I think
30 days we could get them printed, so.
Great. That sounds good.
That didn't take very long.
Proficient.
No. I look stunned at the next item, plan for analysis of 2024 complaint data for supplemental annual report. We got to the step because we wanted to see about complaints that were dismissed as not stating alleged misconduct or for other reasons were being dismissed. We felt that was important to do. I have frankly not thought about what our next step is going to be with regard to analysis of the complaint data. We can do a statistical analysis on the basis of what we got on the dashboard, for instance, on the nature of the complaints. And the department provides details on demographics, as I recall. Isn't that right, Clint? I think when complaints come in, we get a demographic breakdown. So we've got some statistical things that we can report on those complaints.
Doug, can we continue on? Because we've only touched just a small amount. So maybe each month we continue with the process to try to look at more items.
I think it would be a good idea. I don't know what the next set we want to look at is.
You might recall you looked at 50% of the previous year's unfounded complaints or complaints that didn't meet the...
Okay, that was 50.
That was 50% of them.
That was unclear to me. In that case, let's continue with the looking at the unfounded, don't you think? I mean, or do you want to move on to... Because we're getting... I know this is actually a subject for a closed session meeting. I don't feel that people are going to feel compelled to go down that avenue further necessarily if we want to move on to a different kind of complaint. We have in the past, for instance, looked at a category of complaints that we were particularly interested in looking at, for instance, use of force complaints or search and seizure complaints or something like that. Does anybody else on the board have a feeling about a category that they feel we should be particularly interested in looking at, and we could take a look at, say, half a dozen of the complaints?
I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
So these five complaints are 50% of the unsubstantiated that were not then further appealed?
No, ma'am, I wasn't clear. The totality of the complaints that were shared, so
I apologize. Correct. I received right. five in my group of three. I apologize. Right.
And so we had three groups of three. Each group had five. Yep. I think of the third group, I think, had two that were duplicates from a previous group, but I made sure they were the more substantial ones, the ones with more
I'm
detail.
On the same page now.
So,
uh-huh.
I think there were only, my recollection was there like 34 or something
and
like that.
And that is my recollection too, Matt. And I had been a little
total,
confused when I saw the smaller amount,
34
total in that category, right?
And we weren't sure, I mean, not knowing if it was 20 pages per
yeah.
file, and sometimes it's 2 pages per file. So
right.
now we have a flavor for it.
Right.
If you guys want to see the rest of them, I ask the police department to furnish the odd-numbered ones.
Mm-hmm.
So we got all the odd-numbered complaints this time. So if you want the evens now, we can have them give us the even-numbered ones.
So these are complaints in which the complainant is already at least aware of the process, and a complaint was investigated, and they were satisfied with the outcome. Well, to the extent that they did not appeal to the board.
You're talking about the ones that we just looked at?
In our groups of five.
In our groups of five. No, I'll try an articulation here, and let's see if we all agree on we're looking at the same thing. These are complaints that were not investigated or were not fully investigated because on a cursory look, they didn't seem, either the person didn't have standing to mm-hmm. complain, or there was no allegation of misconduct
outside the time limit.
Outside the time limit. There were reasons that there was not a full investigation.
Okay, but the complainant has received that letter
yes.
and has not further communicated
right.
on it. Okay.
Right, and again, I don't think this would be a violation of our rules about the closed session things. In some cases, you'll actually see, I was actually seeing the letter that went out the complaint.
Okay. I just want to make sure of all of those things. Since the complainant is at least somewhat aware of the complaint process in that they did this, the cursory letter was sent out by the chief, if they have not responded again, I would consider that a sign that nothing egregious happened and that we should rather than auditing 100% of complaints is a bit
it's
in
not
depth.
Auditing, really.
Yeah, yes.
Reviewing.
In any category.
In any, yeah.
So maybe we stop at the 50% for this category
and move on
and
to a different.
And move on to another
yeah.
category of complaint that we want to look at. Again, we'll dip in. My memory, and I will reveal on the personal information front that my memory is not reliable, but my memory is we typically did about a half a dozen, did we not, when we were looking at?
Yeah.
Yeah. So we might want to look at a half a dozen, and I think the easiest way to think about it would be, is there a category of complaint? We could simply take the first half dozen complaints that appear in that category. Which is making I'm going to back off there and see if other members of the board have a feeling of what category of complaint they would most like to look into when we're doing these reviews.
I would think possibly use of force.
That's always the most important.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If other people are in agreement, let's begin there. So what we're trying to do is just get, we could randomize in some elaborate way, but I see nothing wrong with simply taking the first six use of force complaints that came in in 2024.
In 24?
24.
Okay.
Right.
The you're wanting the sustained complaints. Is that right? Complaints that the police chief found were improper.
Regardless of the findings, it may have been. There are four categories of response that we might have, and we want them whether it says not sustained or unfounded or exonerated or whatever. We want to just look at the first four that turn up.
Six.
First six that turn up. Right. Yeah.
I understand. Thank you.
All right. If we're agreed on that, we'll move on to the new business. And I apologize if I'm being weird on this. I was processing the what we learned about the way that complaints are investigated in the department.
It is also very different to review a complaint and its process versus to review the actual evidence of that accusation.
Oh, right.
This is just, we're viewing the verbiage of that complaint in the response to it versus looking at that case and all of the videos surrounding it. But if we see this, if we see that the complainant received the letter and they haven't since yet communicated about it, I'm assuming we would have heard about it if they did.
Oh, yeah, okay. I think that's true. I'm what I'm focusing on right now is what we learned about the process last time. And with the board's permission, I'm actually going to, since I spent the afternoon fretting about this, and the way I fret is to write something down, I'm going to take about 3 minutes to read out what I wrote and see if it corresponds with other people's impressions or whether people have other impressions. As I say, I reviewed the video. And I will say, by the way, parenthetically, that the CPRB videos are no longer showing on the CPRB Legistar page.
So I don't have access to that meeting because I was sick, and I tried looking for it online. I was like, oh, it's online. I'll watch it later. Yeah. And I couldn't find it. I was like, am I an idiot?
Well,
so I'm also sad that I missed that meaty information.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like two places that it's supposed to be, and it's never worked on one.
Okay.
And I don't remember.
It is present on the other. I can confirm that.
Okay.
So it is on the live meetings page or something like that.
The Legistar.
There's the CPRB Legistar page, and it's not there. You'll say the video is unavailable for the whole year.
And that's where I used to find them, and they were as of like last year. You know, I was sometimes if I wanted to go back or look at something.
I think the public would tend to go there. The other one seems to be you're trying to look for a live video. And so it's not an intuitive place.
We must have
a
broken link, but thank you for bringing that to my attention.
So,
and our live video, where I'm watching us right now, that works, but the recording of it after, I couldn't find it. I just thought
It's there, and I would encourage you to look at it. It was a really informative session.
Well, I would love that, but I watch everything at like 1 or 2 in the morning if I could get a copy of that.
Okay, I'm going to, as I say, kind of with apologies, I'm going to read. This will, in effect, also be a little informative for Steph. At the April meeting of the CPRB, Chief Slutty and Assistant Chief Dickinson answered board members' questions on how the Columbia Police Department deals with citizen complaints. Most of their answers reinforce my impression that CPD takes complaints seriously and investigates them carefully. Some answers, however, were troubling. Chief Slutty explained to the board that when her department investigates a complaint filed by a civilian, she, quote, doesn't want to cast a wider net than necessary, close quote. The investigator attempts to pinpoint which officer the civilian is complaining about and to exclude from investigation any other officers on the scene. And the investigator pinpoints which particular aspect of that officer's behavior the civilian believes to be improper. focusing on that behavior and no other. Assistant Chief Dickinson put the matter in a nutshell for us when he said, it's the complainant who makes the complaint. We don't take ownership. The department's pinpoint focus in investigating civilian complaints seems to be necessary and justifiable. Chief Sluti pointed out that wide net investigations of the incidents would eat up enormous amounts of staff time. More crucially, she pointed out, such broad investigations of civilian complaints would seem to be a violation of state law, in particular, Senate Bill 26, generally known as the Police Officers' Bill of Rights. This is not to say that the department doesn't do what it can, given the practical and legal constraints. Pinpoint investigations of civilians' external complaints may be paralleled by internal complaints filed by other CPD officers. But parallel investigations happen behind the veil, so to speak. They're essentially invisible to members of the CPRB because officers tend not to complain about the disposition, so we don't hear appeals on those. Now, here's where all that leaves me, at least I think, from my point of view. The board's inclination when we examine troublesome incidents is to look at the incident as a whole. In Chief Sluti's terms, we prefer to cast a wide net. It could be, for instance, that the complaint is focused on Officer A's use of force in applying handcuffs, but that the CPRB's investigation reveals that the handcuffing was done because Sergeant B had ordered an apparently unjustifiable search of a home for reasons that suggest racially based policing. In such a circumstance, the CPRB would obviously want to communicate its concern about Sergeant B's behavior to the chief and to be assured that they will be looked into. The most troublesome thing I learned during last month's session was that if the board communicated these concerns about Sergeant B to the chief couldn't tell the board whether and how they had been addressed, because sharing that information with us would likely be a violation of state law and city ordinances. Given that our mission is to build trust between the department and the citizenry, this is obviously a problem. Effective civilian oversight must cast a wide net. It must concern itself with how the whole policing system works, rather than focusing narrowly on whether a particular complainant correctly pinpoints misconduct by a particular officer. I'll stop on that note and only register the fact that I'm troubled and that I worry we've arrived at an awkward situation that may have to be solved by the city council or by the state legislature. Am I misrepresenting what other people heard? I really need to know, because that was a month ago. It would be easy to dismiss this from our minds, but I want to think about what we actually learned.
This was our concern 2 months ago, based on some of our cases that we had reviewed, and Assistant Chief Dickinson had indicated that that might be the answer. And then I guess last month that was the answer. Yes, I do find that troubling.
Anybody else? Harry, when I was looking at the video, I can't even remember what question, but you felt that something had really been clarified, and I think it was this question of, we won't hear what the result, if we see something else, we'll never hear the result of our pointing out
right. An
additional violation. And that, it seemed like that was a clear answer. No, we won't,
right,
because of the constraints of the law.
Right.
And does that understanding, I know Matt, you've been thinking about this a little bit, that's your understanding of what was being said?
It is.
Yes, sir. That is correct.
It's a very short statute of limitations.
Yeah. I don't know. Mate, we can let this sit for a while. I just wanted to be on the record with a summary of what we seem to have learned. And again, I don't want to misrepresent what other people may have heard. There were, a whole series of questions and a whole series of answers. Does this seem to be what we heard?
Is
procedure changed any? And now since we...
We knew that it may be an issue, and that is what led to that Q&A, based on a couple of the complaints we had investigated, that sometimes we felt that a complainant called IA, and on that phone call, we felt that sometimes the person receiving the call took that person's verbiage and may have placed it into a certain complaint category a little bit preemptively, or may have chosen in a group of five officers to place just that misbehavior charge to just that one officer. And that by doing that in that phone call, you're narrowing down what can possibly be investigating and beginning a statute of limitations that would begin to make the other officers exempt from any sort of investigation, potentially in the future. And there could come a time when one of those behaviors is grievous.
To answer your question, and Clint, you may be able to confirm this, I think a lot of this has to do with SB 26, which is back in 2021 or something, right? So that's been a factor.
Correct.
That's been a factor for some time. And I think that's the major factor. The chief said something at one point about the special problem created by the more recent legislation, which I think is SB 754, if I'm recalling right, specifying those four categories, which makes it complicated to communicate about any complaints that don't fall in those categories. But I didn't entirely understand all the complications. But I can see that, and I guess one of the things I want to say here is my intent here isn't to blame the chief or the department for the way this is handled, but to say that everybody is operating under these strange complaints that is making the job very difficult, and we need to think about how to deal with that, you know.
And on your end, I'm assuming that y'all are simply following the most updated version of the Police Officers Bill of Rights, which I'm assuming was the 2021.
As it applies to administrative investigations, yes.
Yeah.
We follow.
Yeah, then they're just following, 590. Yeah.
Exactly right. And I think, Clint, you may be able to clarify this since it's very much in your wheelhouse, as they say. The constraints are a little tighter, it seems to me, on civilian-based complaints because of that four-category routine. An internal investigation can perhaps investigate a wider variety of alleged misconduct than a civilian complaint can, right? Am I understanding that correctly?
Are you referring to the four categories that review boards are able to
review?
Yes,
that's what I'm saying. So,
yes, so that's the most recent bill that limits review boards' ability to those four categories.
Right.
And so if there were something investigated outside of that, you wouldn't see it.
We wouldn't see it, right. So, I mean, to take it fairly trivial, it's not trivial in some ways because procedurally it could be important, but a violation of body-worn camera policy is not going to be something that we get.
Correct.
But that an internal complaint might well get, right?
Yes.
It would be on the annual report, though. Would it not? I mean, everything that they investigated, I mean, when I'm looking at the 24 information, I mean, it lists everything that's investigated. We just don't have
the
evidence to, you know, to review.
Everything that was investigated by citizen complaint.
From citizen complaint, yeah.
Well.
So, I mean, we would still have... By being able to look at that, we could still see if there was more done that couldn't technically, you know, review.
Yeah. And because, you know, if it comes to us as an appeal, and this is one of the things that is heartbreaking to me, frankly, because I hear what the chief is saying about if you try to cast a wide net on every one of the complaints that comes in, and you've got a couple of officers who are in internal affairs, it's an impossible workload. So in a way, it should be a blessing if somebody files an appeal because now we've got 18 eyes looking at things, right, and can point things out. But the restrictions on things don't allow us to be, you know, as useful as we might otherwise be. But we do, in addition to the appeals, we're still allowed to do what are now called reviews instead of audits. And that does allow us to look at all the records that go with that complaint. so we get a taste of what's going on in those, but there's nothing to be done except to review it and report on what we find. There's no action that can be taken. As you say, the statute of limitations, in effect, has run at that point. So we don't need, I'm not making this an action item necessarily. I'm just saying I don't want this to go away from our thinking. And at some point, we might want to have a more systematic discussion of it.
Or if anything, if the public were maybe more aware, it's a very complex and long process. Yes, if the pub, we're all just now learning this, and we're us.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
If it were a bit more succinct.
Okay. Now, I the next item is somewhat of a mystery to me, and I don't know, it may be to you, Clint, too. There was talk at the last meeting, and it was really between Earl and Assistant Chief Dickinson about doing a review of what Blue's team procedures are. And I imagined, as Earl was saying this little light bulb going off on about what we really needed to be understanding that we might not understand about Blue Team entries. They did come up in this discussion about complaints automatically getting onto a Blue Team report and so on and so forth. But Blue Team is something of a mystery to us, I suppose. Is there anything you could say that will help us understand the importance of that Blue Team entry?
Yeah, so Blue Team is software. That's all it is.
Yeah.
And we just enter data into it. And I can... We have a training site. I'll be happy to show you the website, and I can actually walk you through a Blue Team entry if you're interested in seeing what that looks like. But it has very specific data points that officers have to put in, and it's not just complaints. It's where we document uses of force. It's where we document compliments, where complaints are also entered. And then that essentially opens the case and starts the file. It's very... very much the same as a criminal reporting system for the department. Our records management system, for example, you input data, it creates the report, and that's the start of the investigation.
So anything that has a case number assigned, therefore, has a Blue Team entry, right?
Blue Team, yes. Blue Team generates those numbers that you see, the AD right. year number. That's how we get the sequential numbers, is by building them in there.
Which is... different from every contact that an officer has being entered. If it's something that, in effect, ought to have a case number assigned to it, that it gets a Blue Team entry. Is that right?
So when we do entries into Blue Teams, if there's a corresponding criminal report or mm-hmm. investigation that's going on, we can enter that number. If it was just a police interaction, we can enter the CAD number, the computer dispatch number. And so Blue Team will also tie incidents to what the officer did out on the street, whether it be take a criminal report or just have an interaction that didn't result in an arrest or a report. And so it kind of roadmaps where to look for whatever it may be. Because then we use the same thing with body cams. If we need to find body cams, we look for the corresponding criminal case number or the computer dispatch number
mm-hmm.
that's tied
mm-hmm.
to that.
I would very much like to actually see it. I'm visual, so I'm trying to picture this of what you guys are talking about. And yeah, if we have time, I would love to see a...
I don't know if it's... Are you realistically thinking we could look at it now, or are you thinking we should look... Is that
it's quick. I mean, I have no problem showing it to you. It's a pretty simple
absolutely.
Process.
Absolutely. That'd be lovely. Why don't we do that?
Can I pull it up on... I have it up on my laptop if I can plug that in, or do I need to use this desktop here?
Well, I'm not sure.
Sorry, on the spot.
No, it's all right.
I'm visual. I'm like it.
Yeah.
It shouldn't be
this
that
might be
hard
already
to
up.
Log into the company.
Can you all see this on your screen, what I'm doing?
I'm seeing something happening, yes, Clint. I think we're getting there.
As long as I can.
It says staging como.gov.
Log into my Google account.
Oh, we're getting something.
Yeah. I might be able to... Might wait for. I don't want to mess something up or do something I'm not supposed to.
Well, we can think about events right now that are coming up.
So if I can either log, can I log into my Chrome, my at Como one,
yes,
and get my bookmarks?
Yep.
That's all I would need to do to show them what they need.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you should be able to do that.
Yeah.
All right. If.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Don't look at my passwords.
Okay.
Those days.
Yeah. Sure. Won't do it.
Don't make me change it.
Right.
No, I did not.
Okay, come here.
Looking at each other, we're not looking.
That was
oh, no, we haven't looked up there either. So.
I love that Google Meet allows you to cast just your tab or just screen.
Bless you.
Yep, thank you.
What did I just hear over there?
Disregard.
Disregard. Okay, we're getting somewhere, it looks like, yeah.
You're so close. Oh, yeah, that's very cool and neat looking, like I figured it would be.
Can everybody see the, mm-hmm. that on your screen? So this is the Blue Team software, and officers log into it. They create a new incident, and they can select from a variety of types. If we're receiving an external complaint, the mm-hmm. internal affairs would use the administrative investigation. We can do awards, backgrounds, body cameras, body cavity searches, compliments, performance logs, which is some supervision stuff. When they use canines, Narcan, if a department property gets damaged or lost, strip searches, use of force, crashes and pursuits all get entered into here.
It's your ticketing system that's not criminality and citizen based, but it's department and officer based. Your ticketing, it's is your ticketing system basically for all activities?
No, that's CAD. So
that I thought CAD was phone calls that came in.
So what do you mean ticketing system?
Just any activity that y'all do.
A way of tracking.
A way of tracking all of your activity.
She doesn't mean a ticket in the legal sense.
So there's a couple different ones. So if we want to see what an officer does every day, that's CAD. We can go look at what calls they go to during the day. If they're doing anything that requires reporting under policy, they do it here.
Okay, there we go.
Yeah.
Okay.
If any kind of policy requires reporting.
And that's it, yeah. Okay. And
so what would you guys like to see an example of? Use of force is probably
use of force since we're going there would be a great thing to look at, yeah.
So we and then they enter in a bunch of data. We'll say this happened yesterday at 5 p.m. And then here I can attach any kind of case number. And the date received and date of occurrence can be different as if it were a complaint. If something happened a week ago and they're just now complaining, those two dates would be different.
Yeah.
But the use of force, we're going to leave it all the same since it all occurred at the same time. And then whether it happened in the county, in the city, or outside of the county for some reason. And then we have to go into these over here and start inputting information
mm-hmm.
of where everything happened. So I'm going to use the police department. It autofills. And then here's free text for the officer to put in what happened. It's different than what they put in their criminal reports. This is way just more strictly administrative. What led to the use of force, what force specifically was used, what factors were considered when using force, stuff that may not necessarily go directly into a criminal report for criminal prosecution.
And I'm trying to think about the confidentiality level of such entries. Could this be called into court, for instance, what gets entered on the Blue Team?
Yeah, and Becky confirmed it would be discoverable information for criminal.
Correct.
Yeah. So, and these can be as detailed as need be based on the situation. And then here, the use of force details, this is where it gets into the very specific things that happened during the interaction with the citizens. So what were we attempting to do when the force was used? An arrest, crowd control, self-defense, things like that. So we'll say we're trying to make an arrest. What type of call we were on And this has quite an extensive list of different things. So we went to a disturbance to make an arrest. We put in the weather conditions yesterday was...
Perfect. It's beautiful.
Cool. Yeah. Lighting condition is a factor as well. 5 o'clock, you're going to have daylight if you're outdoors. Citizen injury, that'll automatically determine it based on the force that we used. Whether a citizen was arrested, yes, we made an arrest. Did we take him to the hospital? If they're more than one citizen, then we put in all the citizen information, all the factors that go into that, their height, their build, how far away we were when we used the force. And this comes into play for things like less lethal shotguns and tasers, beanbag rounds, pepper spray. And then there's a general assessment that the officer makes of the citizen, of the, kind of their condition at the time. One of those, and then that whether or not there are any officer injuries are taken to the hospital. And then here's where we go in and start adding citizens. I don't want to use anybody's actual name. So there was one that was built in here. This is all the training side, so none of this is real.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. None of this is secret information. So once they go into the Blue Team system, they're in there as their own little record. So if we use force on someone more than once later on down the road, they will already be built in our record system. We can also create a new record and include all the information, race, gender, all their contact information. So we're going to say it's the one that's already in there. And then we go in and we assign some specific details to the citizen. What was their role? They were involved. We use the force on them. And then we track some other information. Homelessness status, mental health status, language, whether or not they were armed. If we're able to collect other information, sexual orientation and express gender, we can do that as well. If they were charged with anything, so in this case, it was a disturbance call, so there was an assault charge. What sort of resistance? So this is basically what were their actions during this? So if it was during a disturbance, they were maybe attempting to harm somebody else. Lots of different things, weapons, if they're using body fluids, if they have some sort of holds on people, cues of imminent attack, disarming officers. So here we just put that they were attempting to harm someone else, and officers can choose as many are as applicable, and they're encouraged to be as detailed as they can remember during that.
So do they do these Blue Team entries before they do their reports? Is this after? Or is there, it doesn't matter? Because you said they can tie them together, so I didn't know.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Really just it's administrative on and the other issue is that if there's more than one officer that uses force, only one officer is doing this for everybody. So I may go to another officer and say, hey, what kind of force did you use? What did you see? And because then this is generating a unique number. And if it's all the officers using force on the same incident, we don't want to generate several different numbers, because then it's going to look like we're using a ton of force when maybe two officers use force on one person.
Yeah. But in such an instance, is there a place where the presence of the other officer or the is noted in the record, but it's not made a separate.
Correct, and that's in here in this screen here.
Right. Yeah.
So if there we do add injuries, so we'll say I deployed a taser in this one, mm-hmm. and taser has some probes, so no extended injuries. But then I can also mark on where the injuries were. So if that's where my taser probe struck him, I'll mark A and B, and add that. And then here's the involved officer.
Yeah, okay.
So I can add myself, if I spell my name right.
Don't you hate that?
Yeah. And then I do pretty much the same thing as I did with the citizen. What was my role? I was the primary officer responding to the call. I don't have any injuries. What type of force did I use? We'll say that I did a taser deployment. Taser deploy. The force was effective. And then I would put my taser information in there. I did a probe deployment. And then it tracks all these details about serial numbers and how many probes were deployed and everything like that. It's very comprehensive. It's probably going to make me enter all that.
I'm concerned. It's so beautiful.
I know. See? I
can, if you're into I that can get stuff, yeah.
I have a question.
Yeah.
On your database, when you're entering citizen information, is that just department made throughout the years, or is it like pulling from a federal database or a statewide database? Or
we're getting that information from the person. So
when you said you dealt with them before, so this is just your local database?
Yeah, this is all internal. Cool. And it's only in the Blue Team system. So it doesn't pull from our, even doesn't pull from our record system. So if somebody's been built in our record system, say they were arrested for something a year ago, mm-hmm. they're in our record system. Mm-hmm. If they've never had force used on them, they're not in our Blue Team system.
Got
and
it.
We have to build them new in here anytime okay. that they become a subject of force. I can add other officers. I'll use my boss. Not here. And then I can, you know, I can list him as a backup officer. If he used any force, I can include that in here as well. And then there's also a place for citizen witnesses and officer witnesses to collect that information. That's not gonna let me proceed. Then we can attach, this is where we would attach body-worn camera footage. If there's any other sort of documentation that would be related to the use of force with complaints, here's where they'll upload a copy of the complaint. The forms that are used for internal affairs, notice of investigations, all that gets uploaded as an attachment that you guys eventually see when you review them through there. And then essentially what my assignment is, and then it gets shipped off to the appropriate supervisors for review. So it's a very robust system. We use it for a lot of different things, and it captures quite a bit of data. But that's the 6-minute version of Blue Team.
I'm happy with that. Yeah, that was very helpful.
It was, exactly.
Thanks for showing us.
Any questions? I'll second Steph's comment. It's reassuring to know that so much is recorded on each of these, so it's great. Yeah. Questions, comments, Clint, again, thanks. I mean, I'm delighted that we were able actually to look at the...
Yeah,
and
if you do have any more questions, I'll be happy to answer them, or if you think of anything next time, we'll get those answered.
All right, we'll move on to reports. And I'm going to read out a part of one. So I want to just report, and then we'll see if there's a Human Rights Commission report that staff wants to give. Very quickly, I received, oddly, through City Council chambers, a report signed a concerned University of Missouri mom, which, did you get a copy too? Okay, we've good. I think we maybe some of us have looked at it, some of us not. I won't read the entire letter, but the essence of it is that the concerned mom is talking about an encounter that her son had, and I'll just read out that part. He was driving near Providence Road and Rollins Street when he observed a homeless man acting erratically and swinging a knife. My son happened to see a police car approaching and informed him of the knife-wielding man just behind them. The policeman replied that it was out of his jurisdiction. He was Columbia Police, and suggested my son call Missouri University Police instead. I'm not going to read more than that. We need to share it with the department for what it's worth. And I don't know, Clint, if you have seen it yet. We'll make sure that you get a look at the whole thing later on. I don't think there's any action that's being called for here exactly, except that the mom wants to make sure that we communicate that this happened. And she has made follow-up essentially impossible by only signing herself a concerned mom. And then emailed out to us was a similar complaint, which I won't read out, but it's followed a surprisingly similar pattern and was signed a concerned citizen, as I recall, and said, you know, during my three-day visit to Columbia, I noticed expired license plates on the following cars. Yeah, right.
Yes, that one I did receive.
Yeah, that one you did receive. And in effect says, you know, as a law-abiding and tax-paying citizen, I wish that there were enforcement of these things. And again, it reports the license plate numbers and the makes of the cars that are involved. It isn't clear what action
has actually been taken.
Has been taken.
Because a citizen wouldn't know if they've been ticketed 100 times.
Right, and the whole question of how the department prioritizes things and stuff like that gets to be a complication here. I feel that we need to pass these on to the department because the citizens ask us to do so. And that's all. I think that's the totality of the report as far as I'm concerned, unless somebody else sees something in those. Okay.
No, I mean, when I read that, it's unfortunate that, I mean, you know, citizens don't know.
Right.
You know, they see something and, you know, we understand that, well, just because that's happened doesn't mean that they haven't been stopped, they haven't been ticketed, that, you know, who knows? But that's not going to prevent that car from being on the streets. It's just going to be, you know, pulled over if it's seen. And
you know, and like I thought that. The same thing about the knife-wielding homeless man. You know, this particular person might be distressed to see such a thing. That doesn't mean there's any action that the police could take under these circumstances. On the other hand, it seems that if the person wants to report that that's a concern about public safety, it should go to the police department.
Yes. Yeah, I agreed.
Steph, do you have a report from the Human Rights Commission?
We just met last week, I think. We've mostly been discussing issues with our folks on the street in public, toileting and health and sanitation issues with the DNR complaints, which are a concern, and issues with our homeless outreach officers sometimes maybe perceived as harassing some people on the street. But mostly we are just tabling at public events, making sure that we're out there talking to the public. We're going to participate in a Juneteenth event. We were at the food bank last month. And yeah.
And you know, to connect a couple of things, having these cards in your hand and reminding people what a proper way of filing complaints could be a really valuable thing in those circumstances.
About. Let's get them out there.
All right. We'll check to see whether there are any comments by the general public. They're allowed 3 minutes to address and so on and so forth. And then we'll see if there are comments by members and then comments by staff. Any general comments that any members of the board want to make first?
I don't know. Did we discuss the trip we took to Joint Communications?
You know, I don't know if
I don't remember ever talking about
that. That was so much fun.
I mentioned that we...
Yeah, okay.
Oh, good. All right, you did talk about it last
then
time.
Then we did.
Okay.
Facility,
it was a nice facility.
And it really seemed...
We pulled those clipboards out with all that stuff loaded on. I was like...
The 911... But anyway, yeah, it was really good. It really made me feel safe, like for this area.
Did you guys
Especially for a variety of disasters. When we think of the police department, that's just, you know, our criminality. That building is set for meltdown on campus, storm, you name it. And yeah, our 911 dispatchers sound like they're very extensively trained. Yeah.
I think we all went.
I think we all did.
Yeah, all gone. Yeah. I had to go at
just
a separate
went on different,
time.
Had to break different
up
dates.
Into groups.
Yeah.
Right. Great. I think a lingering question I've got, which I'll just sort of point vaguely in Clint's direction, is you know, there was all this question of storage capacity and being able to, you know, access complaints as we had been doing through the I've just forgotten the name of the system.
Axon.
Yeah, Axon system. Do we know where we are on being able to have that expanded storage capacity and being able to access complaint data from Axon instead of the, like we were using thumb drives
thumb
in this case?
Thumb drive of security.
Yeah.
I think we're sticking with the dashboard.
Okay.
I think that's where we're going to go with it.
Okay.
So the dashboard contains the letters. Where, oh, dashboard plus USB of the evidence.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that creates a workload.
It does. It does. It's a little bit more extra work for staff, but we'll power through it. I'm still holding out hope that perhaps IT can come up with a solution on the dashboard that'll allow the video to play, or they'll have a way of breaking it into smaller chunks, perhaps. Cause I think that's the problem, is that they're just too big.
Yeah, because it I would go to load it. It was. It's going to be 20 minutes, you know, and I don't have any slow internet. It's 20 minutes.
Oh, in Axon?
And no, on the platform.
Oh, on
and
that.
And then by the time
I
get to the end, you can't watch it. And I'm like, yeah, just spent 20 minutes waiting for it to download.
Yeah,
I got it
so
to work,
frustrating.
But it took a long time, and it was easier to do on the thumb drive than it.
Yeah, the thumb drive was fine. I mean, I don't have a problem, but
I know it's inconvenient. But
yeah,
well, we'll operate and with it as we can and.
As long
there
as
are,
we
there
have.
Are, what, that's one of the things that about going out to the Emergency Response Center. There's a lot of technological knowledge in the city and the department. Eventually, you may come up with some genius figuring out a less cumbersome
way to do. I liked Axon.
Yeah.
I got used to it. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I liked it. I got used to it, and it was great.
All right.
The only comment I have is more towards anyone that might be watching this at a later time on video, is that there's always room for people to apply for the board. So
have an opening.
I know. I wasn't going to say that because I didn't know if it was out there yet.
Yes.
But we do have an opening on the board, and anyone that is, you know, heavily wants to be involved in it, apply. Come out and apply. That's my plug.
More fruitful than complaining. More
That's
fruitful
correct.
Than just complaining. I still complain.
And
Come work with us.
Remarkably educational. I mean, I think we learn so much from doing this. So, I'll go ahead and make the motion to go into closed session to discuss records which are protected from disclosure by law under Section 610.21, paren 14, and Section 590.502 of RISMO. Is there a second?
I will second that.
Been moved and seconded, and this requires a roll call vote, as I recall.
Ace?
Yes.
Harry?
Yes.
Stephanie?
Yes.
Doug?
Yes.
And Steph?
Yes.
That quick, that way.
Thank you, Clint. That was really...